podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
It is the Anfield Wrap. Neil Atkinson, Melissa Reddy, Gareth Roberts and Ben Johnson to talk about Liverpool 0, Southampton 0, which is going to be exactly what it sounds like. And I think one of my first issues with this game, Gareth, you know, looking back on it, having done post-match shows on the AnfieldWrap.com, all of that sort of stuff, one of the first things that sort of is difficult talking about the game is that you feel like you've talked about it before. And it's hard to actually address this game in a standalone sense. I mean, I feel like I've watched this now about six times at Anfield this season, probably started West Ham in December. It's one of a piece, isn't it? It's one of a series of games where these problems are emerging. Liverpool are doing a lot of similar things. And I think, first and foremost, one of the things that's come out of all the discussion is there's a slowness to Liverpool's starts in general in these games.
Yeah, there does seem to be that way. And I mean, I mentioned on one of the shows last week that there's quite a worrying sort of couple of comments from a couple of the players. I think it was Lovren and Wijnaldum that we referenced, who sort of said, admitted themselves that they hadn't really been at it in some of these games. And it's hard to pinpoint the reason when, you know, one of the things that saved Liverpool so well this season was tempo, was moving it fast, was moving it quickly between players. And, you know, it was the complete opposite of that again yesterday, and it was just all so predictable. And very early, there was like a pattern of play. You know, Southampton were just sitting there in a big mess in the middle and just go ahead, try and get through that. And then, you know, the ball was just getting channeled to the fullbacks over and over again. They didn't seemingly have the creativity to do anything with it. And that was the pattern of play then. That was almost set very early, and then it never, ever changed all the way through. And it was so difficult to watch. And I actually thought, it's not down on, you sent a little agenda down, and it's not on this, and we do talk about it all the time, but I've seen people reference them when they come out the ground, and I had a look at our social media, atmosphere and all this again. I actually thought it was all right.
Thought the atmosphere, did the referee help?
You'll Never Walk Alone was decent. I thought everyone had a go. I thought everyone sort of brought, had a go at the atmosphere a bit. And yeah, the referee definitely helped because he was an absolute bell. And
come on to the referee. We don't need to talk about the referee on the show. We are going with the end. At the end, we're going to have a good chat about Bobby Madley. Mel, the slow start. And for me, what gets my goat a little bit is Liverpool don't start slow against Spurs, and they don't start slow against Arsenal. But there appears to be, as a team, an acceptance that this is the way this is going to go, if you know what I mean. And so everyone just settles. And what we do is that sort of allows the opponents to set the pattern. It becomes the patterns on the opponent's terms, because it's as though Liverpool have pre-match all got into a huddle and gone, right, we know what they're going to do. They're going to do this, and we're going to just have to try and break them down. So we'll just do this.
Yeah, I think there's a miscomprehension of how patience should work in this game, because at the start of the season in these sort of encounters they were getting frustrated really on, because you know they'd play at a high tempo, look to force things, wouldn't come off, and the message was you've got to be patient in these games, you've got to draw them out. And you can be both patient and intense. It just means you don't force things as often, you're more intelligent about what you do, you're more measured. And one of the things I think has happened with Liverpool, and why I wasn't surprised by yesterday in a sense, is that I think they've got totally into this new mindset now of they've got to win ugly, they've got to battle for things. And that suits them very well away from home in this run-in, as we've seen already. But at Anfield, where you've got to take the initiative, where especially against Southampton side, who you knew weren't going to be ambitious at all. They don't have anything to play for. They've used this template three times already. It's worked really well. They're not going to do anything different. And I think they struggle to shake that approach that we've got to get stuck in and roll up our sleeves. And they couldn't do then what, you know, served them well at the start of the season, which is be expansive, be inventive. And I think that's the problem when you're being patient and when you have to pull a team apart and, you know, pick the spaces. If you don't have the freshness and the originality of mind to do it, you're going to struggle, which is what happened.
But it sort of allows, this is the thing I sort of, what annoys me with it, Ben, is it sort of allows the opponents to then set the pattern. That's what Liverpool are doing. And by opponents, I mean, you know, I'm not just talking about this game. Plymouth got to dictate the way in which we played at Anfield by virtue of what they do and because of how we approach them when they're doing what they want to do. What we're doing is we're basically saying, no, it's all right for you to decide that, for instance, we'll win this from the bench post 60. What we're not doing is going, no, we're not going to let you settle into your pattern. We're going to dictate our pattern. And that's what's frustrating. And I think that's what frustrates supporters, you know, in general. It's the thing that really gets your goat is when you feel as though the side's not trying to force the issue in quite the way in which you want early in games.
I wonder whether there's an acceptance and it's almost part by design in that because what's happened previously where we've actually tried with players that maybe can't necessarily do it naturally, we've tried to get after teams and left ourselves exposed. I wonder whether there's actually a little bit of an acceptance that, okay, well, we might have to dog it and we might have to get to 60 and try and win it from the bench. So you're almost not necessarily allowing them to set the tempo, but you're almost agreeing with it. It's okay.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, it's fine for us. And we don't want to try and hustle them out of their shape, because when we do try and do that, we leave ourselves wide open. And I think it's a possibility that we've almost thought, okay, well, we'll take our chance, we'll keep it tight and we'll try and win 1-0. And the penalty goes in. Without making any changes, you've got to 70, you're 1-0 up with 20 minutes to go. And then it's a completely different game. And I think what they've looked to do probably is, well, where's our major weakness? Well, our major weakness is when we overexpose ourselves and we leave ourselves wide open at the back to a break. So what are we going to do? Let's not overexpose ourselves and let's just see what happens. And it's worked away from home. It doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work at home, but we had the better chances in the game. We didn't play great, but...
So you're saying that there's a choice that you almost think right now you can almost separate off, for instance, Swansea at home and West Ham at home from earlier in the season, and you can say that right now actually we're making a bit more of a choice. There are either bad days at the office or sides being smart and finding ways to stop us. Whereas now we're almost going, it's okay, bring on your time wasting, bring on everything that you want to do. And what we're going to do instead is we're going to sort of accept that and take the attitude of what we think we'll get the only goal in the game.
I think what,
we'll get the first goal.
Yeah,
in the game.
I think what the decision probably is let's not lose the first goal, because if we lose the first goal, we're probably going to struggle to score. So let's leave it tight. And if we score, great. And if we don't, then at least we're still in the game with 20 minutes to go, and we can bring two lads on who we're not going to get 90 minutes out of. So you know, you've got Sturridge, you can change a game, because that's what he's really good at, finding them little pockets of space, beating a man out of nothing. And you've got Lallana, who gives you perpetual energy. But I don't think changing, say for example, I don't think taking Wijnaldum out of that game and putting Lallana in gives you the requisite balance to, in order to force the game. I think it makes it a little bit better, but not good enough to be able to rag them all over the place to expose them as we were when we've got Mane in the side. And I think there's a very slight mindset change in that. So, all right, well, we'll be fine with just being in the game with 20 to go.
I think it's definitely conscious, absolutely, because Klopp continuously references we need to keep it tight at the back, defend with all we have in the highest possible quality, he keeps saying, and then we will create not, you know, kind of chances that they were at the start of the season, but enough to get the goal that you need if you're going to keep it tight. And like we said, when you look at the run-in, it makes sense to go and do that at Watford, at West Brom. It doesn't make sense to do it at Anfield when a side's not going to come and play, because Liverpool have struggled in an attacking sense post Sadio Mane's injury and without having Jordan Henderson and Adam Lallana, who's only just come back. I think since Sadio's injury, in the seven games, they've scored six goals, and three of which have been worldies. Coutinho's free kick, Emery's bicycle, Firmino's volley. So it's, you know, they're relying on these pieces of individual brilliance rather than this great team build-up play like it was at the start of the season. And there is definitely this switch in the mind, which is, let's not make the mistakes we have made, i.e. not protecting ourselves. Let's believe that we have the quality, essentially. It may be ugly and it may be take longer than we wanted to and we may get frustrated, but let's just believe in the quality that we have to win it. And I think you make a great point, because another thing Klopp said yesterday is all you have to do to change Southampton's approach is get that first goal. And if that penalty goes in and you still have Lallana and Sturridge to bring on, you're looking at a completely different game.
It throws open, really, well, there's the Mane question and the midfield question as well. It starts early within these matches. I think you've seen in the home games in this run, Gareth, you've seen where the weaknesses are for Liverpool in the sense of the midfield. You know, they've missed both Henderson and Lallana. We'll come on to Mane in a minute, but they've missed both Henderson and Lallana hugely in terms of being able to speed it up and slow it down, for that matter. You know, being able to have 5 minutes where you just find Lallana, he looks after it, he pops it back to Henderson, the cycles a little bit, and then Henderson finds Lallana again, and you can sort of get yourself back into that loop. I think, you know, in terms of being able to drive or change a tempo of a match, those two are our two most important players, I think. And I think you've seen, you know, the midfield, whilst all these lads who played, the three midfielders who start the game against, you know, against, I forgot who we played, Southampton, those three midfielders, they've had good games recently. They've all had good games in different circumstances recently, but you see that they just cannot sort of get to grips with setting a tempo in these matches. There's now a body of work you can look at.
No, absolutely. And I think you're absolutely right. And we also saw with Lallana, even in flashes there yesterday, although I don't think he was that influential, but he didn't have that much time either. But he's just so good at getting you on the front foot. At sort of, you know, his control's so good. He can take it in one turn, and he'll pass more often than not. He looks for a forward pass as well. Whereas I think too often, you know, the three that were playing, too often basically taking the safe option, and none of them seem to want to go, I'll force it here. And all right, you know,
you can force it too much, but...
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it just wasn't quick enough. It wasn't fluid enough. And when Liverpool did try and sort of go, you know, pass forward and stuff, too often it just felt hopeful. Even the penalty. I mean, like, you know, Lucas puts the ball in for the penalty, but there's a stroke of luck in basically getting that pen. I mean, I've seen it back, and I think the lad does move his arm and therefore deserves to be punished for it. But loads of times, you know, you're not going to get that. And so, you know,
Chan wins that penalty, to be fair, I think.
Yeah, by battling for it. Yeah, by battling for the second ball. But, I mean, too often all game, that, you know, the I think if you look at the stats, we've had something like 17 shots or something like that. But the majority of them are from outside of the area. They're, you know, representing pot shots, really. And in terms of a clear-cut chance, well, there wasn't one all game, really. I mean, probably Grujic's header is probably the best chance of the game. And that was when you're sticking the big man up and going for that tactic. So, yeah, as an approach, it didn't work. And it has, you're right to say, it hasn't worked a few times now, and it is a bit worrying. But also, I agree with what Jono said, in that, you know, everyone's done the hindsight thing and gone, well, you should have started Sturridge and Lallana then. But again, we're having this conversation, and all fans are having the conversation around football without truly knowing all the facts. So what have Lallana and Sturridge actually got in their legs? Because I'd suggest it's not 90. It could maybe be earlier than 70, which is when they come on. They could maybe start and go off, and you could do things that way around, and maybe that improves that tempo from the kickoff. But either way, the answer for me in the next two games isn't keep repeating this. It feels like something's got to change now. I mean, there's too many players.
Would you say that for the away game at West Ham? Because I'm looking at the fact that they've won the last.
It's a very away setup, isn't it?
Yeah, that I'm looking at an away. We'll come on to John in a second, but he said before, I'm looking at a really good away team here.
And
this is where it's interesting. For instance, I saw Five Times, hello to them. They were running a poll on would you start Sturridge or Origi in the next game, and it was 91% of people were saying Sturridge. And I can completely see why off Origi's performance. He's quite frustrating to watch at the minute. He's having a bit of a tough time, yeah, especially at Anfield. But then I'm thinking, well, I'd quite like to have Daniel Sturridge to bring on at West Ham with 20 to go. Yeah. We've seen us win these games 1-0. So you can see how it's tough for the manager, really, can't you? Because it's easy for you and me to sit here and go, well, I'd definitely change it before West Ham. But he's looking at a side that's got three really good away wins on the back pocket.
Yeah, and also as well, I mean, look, go back to, say, the Bournemouth game away. And we all had a conversation then about Liverpool not showing nous, not closing down a game, not being solid enough, maybe being a little bit dodgy at the back. So it seems to me they've worked on that aspect. but maybe it's gone too far the other way now, yeah. And they've lost some of the creativity. And so it's about sort of getting that balance back the other way now and being able to force a game when a team's just sitting in.
When Gareth talks about centre mid, Ben, you know, with the idea of these lads, they're not passing it forward enough, not forcing enough, not taking enough chances. For me, this is an interesting conversation around the nature of players themselves and what the sort of footballer they are versus what they might be being asked to do by a manager. And it might be that the manager's gone, well, you know what? At the minute, I haven't got Henderson and I'm not starting Lallana. So we'll play to these lads' strengths and we'll get them doing what they're comfortable doing rather than ask them to do bits and pieces that they're not comfortable doing. And that's one of the things I was taking from that game yesterday and why, you know, whether you agree or disagree with the approach, and we'll come back onto that in a minute, but it's almost as though we've gone, right, well, these are our three lads. These are our three lads for these games, so they're going to do what we know that they're comfortable doing. We're not going to suddenly start asking Lucas to ping it 50 yards.
I think the whole thing's about balance and the Mane, missing Mane just affects us so much because Henderson, you're missing Henderson and Mane, but what Henderson's really good at is changing play. The side of play quickly. So he'll get the ball. He doesn't need to touch it. He knows where his man is and it goes. And then it gets to the fullbacks a little bit earlier and they can play a little bit quicker. And I think the problem we've got and the problem we've had whenever Mane hasn't played all season is that we've got no ability for anybody to get after the fullback on the wing. So all that happens is you switch it to the right, a little bit slower than you normally would. It comes to Klein or whoever is the right-sided forward who isn't naturally a winger. It comes out to them. They start again. It works its way back across the pitch to the left back. And I think the knock-on effect of it all is Milner at the start of the season was one of our best players, one of our most creative players. And I think the reason for that is his ability to arrive late and to his movement and his reading of a pass is really good. I think what's happening now is because the ball's getting there a little bit slower, they're a little bit more set. We've got the two centre-mids a little bit deeper in Tian and Wijnaldum, whereas it was Wijnaldum and Lallana on the half-turn behind Coutinho drifting and Firmino dropping in, it's not. It's three fellas in a row next to each other pretty much. And Milner's getting it and looking and thinking, okay, well, I can play feet, but then it's coming back and then we're going back across to the right. So it's a whole thing of, yeah, you're missing Henderson, so you can't switch it as quickly as you could. You can't win it back as quickly as you could either, even though you've got more defensive players in there. Henderson's recovery ability is really, you know, excellent.
And you've got no... It's an way you miss Lallana as well.
So then you miss Lallana on the half-turn, so you can't create the pockets of space, so you end up just keeping the ball forever and eternity. And it's been like all of them defeats in all of the cups or all of them games where we've struggled, it's been the same thing, keeping the ball safe, because there's nothing else we can do apart from trying to move it. When you're playing in that... When you're playing in that team, even if Henderson was playing now, I think we'd struggle because you just keep moving it forever and ever and ever. And unless somebody knocks off and somebody can beat a man, it's really difficult to create anything.
One of the things that surprised me at home in the context of what Ben's saying there, Mel, and again, the Southampton game's an example of it, and we did it once and I got really annoyed because of what happened next, is this manager, and he doesn't like the fact, but he's known for gegenpressing. And one of the things that struck me is, if you're going through a little patch like this in a game, one thing you can rely on of those lads, if you get them on the front foot, is to win it back quite quickly.
Yeah.
And therefore, that you can make an argument, play a few more riskier balls, even if they're a bit aimless, off the basis of the fact that they've then got the ball, and suddenly you've changed the pattern of this play. Instead, it's back to us acquiescing into this pattern. We just sort of play, we just say, oh, well, you know, whether it's safety first to keep the ball or something like that, we go, no, we're quite happy with that. And we played one quite vertical ball towards the last 10. And one of the things that annoyed me was, it was so easily cleared. There wasn't the people buzzing around to sort of go, right, well, you suddenly now we can nick it back.
Yeah.
And that's something that's gone as well in terms of all this other stuff. One, that we aren't looking like we're going to nick it back on the edge of the final third. Very, very few ball recoveries in that area of the pitch. Maybe it is because these three midfielders are playing a bit deeper, but that's somewhere where, you know, maybe we could do a little bit more, play some diagonals, just see what happens hanging up there, off the basis of the fact that you're going to make them do something a bit different.
The only time Southampton actually looked a little unsettled is when they had to play the ball out from the back and they were getting pressed. There was the danger that they could cede possession because of Firmino and Coutinho buzzing about, but obviously that didn't happen often enough. And I think it is a case, like, of all the things we've discussed, the mentality, the fact that you want to learn from your mistakes, and with key players missing, you don't want to expose yourself. And also, point you referenced, Echo, about playing to people's strengths. We've had Emery try to be the identikit of Henderson, and, you know, some of his worst performances came that way when he was trying to assume a role that doesn't suit what he wants to do or marry well. And I think it really generally is a case of let's not lose, but in a sense that is not aiding their need to win all these games. And, you know, Liverpool have done the ugly stuff now away from home. And like we've said, the goals aren't coming by, you know, force of Liverpool's expansiveness and stuff. A lot of it is through sheer individual brilliance. And it's good that the games are running out now because, you know, Arsenal and United perhaps don't have as many chances to catch up with them, because essentially, eventually, your luck will run out if you're not believing in your ability to create and you're not continuing in that vein. I think it will help, obviously, Lallana's return when we speak about the pressing, because he is a key trigger for all of it. We've mentioned the tempo, which loads of people make fun of Henderson and make fun of, he's completed the most passes or whatever. But when you speak to the guys that play with him and they talk about how important he is as the motor of the team, because he is the basis, the foundation for everything that side does. And, you know, like you say, Mane is the one who is the most direct. He gives you something that no one else has, which is that burning pace. And he allows Liverpool to transition quicker. So without those three, this intention to be safe first makes sense. But conversely, it doesn't, because you're negating Coutinho largely, you're negating Firmino largely. And I think Liverpool really need, it doesn't have to be one or the other, and that's what irritates me. You don't have to be this all, you know, this attacking juggernaut that absolutely steamrolls everyone. You can score two and then play within yourself, control the game, and then go and get the third and kill it. Or you don't have to be, oh my gosh, we can't attack at all here. We've got to think about our protecting our offensive moments and then not have actually any offensive moments to protect. It has to be both.
It's knocking on all over the place, and I do think it's, I think, one of the things I almost want the manager to commit to, you know, as an example, every change sort of makes us doubly weaker. So as an example on this one, starting Origi through the middle and not starting Firmino there.
Yeah.
So you're weakened through the middle, and also Firmino's not having anywhere near as effective a game. Yeah. Can you do something else at the right-hand side? If you just started Firmino back and you went, well, you know what, we know Coutinho and Firmino will work in that area of the pitch and we'll take a gamble here. Whereas it's this sort of, trying to get the right metaphor for it, really, Gareth, it's sort of like these shavings off of your effectiveness, rather than going, well, we'll just take a complete gamble in one position and keep everything else as solidly effective as we've seen it. And, you know, all game yesterday, I'm watching Coutinho. At times, there was a point where I watched Coutinho and Firmino exchange passes essentially outside the final third with each other. And I'm thinking, well, lads, if you're exchanging passes with each other outside the final third,
who's
one of your balls in a minute when you get to look up?
That's the other thing, sorry, because you want to unsettle them, you want to pull them out of position, but if Coutinho and Firmino are the ones doing the pulling, who's getting into position? Because it's not one of the because the midfielders weren't making those third man runs because they were worried about protecting what, I don't know, because Southampton...
They just had one lad kicking around up front who all he was interested in was feigning injury and doing people's heads in. I mean, what was getting me all day was like, look, you know, I was shite at footy, and when I played footy and I was shite and I was playing 11 aside, I played at fullback and all I wanted was a fucking out ball. All I wanted was some lad to fucking show for me and me to lash it to him and him fucking sort it, him score, you know what I mean? Him be creative, and then I'll get on with just booting people and that. And Liverpool weren't even doing that basic. All game you were watching it and you were like, lads are on the ball and they're looking up. And we're all slaughtering them since for going sideways and back and all that sort of thing. And rightly so. But there was just no out ball over and over again. There was no movements. And it was like, there was one, I think Coutinho puts it through. and he's expecting a Regis to run onto it, and he doesn't. He doesn't read it. He doesn't get onto it. And you could see, I was watching Coutinho after it happened,
yeah,
for
he was
ages.
Really frustrated.
He was he was like shaking his fist. He couldn't believe that, you know, he just hadn't read that moment. And I just thought, you know, there's a I think what you're saying there as well, there's a combination of things all working together in almost like a bit of a perfect storm to make us not that good at the moment. The Mane thing, the Henderson thing, but also like a Regi having no confidence, not really looking like a nine, not looking like someone who makes those intelligent runs. I mean, it's so telling and damaging really to, you know, a Regi's case, the difference that it made when Sturridge comes on. And that's a fella who can play up front. All of a sudden, he's bright. He skins that fella on the edge. He's making little runs. He nearly scores a couple, all right. Not great the way he finishes them, but, you know, you can see the brightness. You can see what a proper centre-forward brings, basically. And I was going to bring that up myself about Firmino as well. I mean, Firmino was doing that. He was the bright fella through the middle. And all of a sudden, we've sidelined him and we're keeping him sidelined. And it's like, it's not working, this, and it's got to change. And I mean, I think a frustration now with Klopp from loads of people, and rightly so, is just sort of the amount of time it seems to take to change. When you can see that's what I said earlier about that, you were just watching the same pattern of play on repeat over and over and over again, all the way into the late stages of the game, and it was like, it's not working, mate. You know, you've got to tweak something here, or, you know, you've got to take more of a chance. Like, why are Chan, Lucas and Van Aldem standing so close to each other and so deep, and giving it to each other all the time?
I was stunned, Gareth, and I want to come back to you on this because I know how much you like the lads, and it's important that, you know, in the context of a lot of this stuff, we remember the fact that these are good footballers, because they all are good footballers. But I couldn't believe how staggeringly anonymous Van Aldem was. I don't think it's an easy game for him. I think he ends up being the one. It's dead clear what Lucas is going to do. Emre's going to basically Emre the scenario, for better or worse. And I think he has a good game, Chan. If I was going to watch man of the match at anyone, it would probably be Emre Chan. But it leaves Van Aldem in this position where he's obviously meant to be doing a bit more higher up the pitch. But I can barely remember him touching the ball. It was a non-entity of a performance.
Yeah, absolutely. He was hardly involved in it. And it is a shame because you do feel like he's got a lot more than that in his locker. And we've seen him have more than that in his locker. And, you know, some of the bigger games, like he's bullied people in midfield and he's got stuck in and he's made things happen. And, he was a 10th in Newcastle, wasn't he? So to see him just sort of sidelined and not involved and, you know, I had a quick look before because I was genuinely like you. I was thinking, well, I can't remember him really doing anything. And so I had a look sort of, you know, who he's knocking the ball to and that sort of thing. And apparently his top choices of pass were Klein and Milner. And it's like, well, and that was that was one of Liverpool's problems on the day, that I kept getting funneled out to them. So,
and then you get frustrated, and then you find yourself, I mean, we'll come on to Milner in a minute, but then you find yourself being frustrated with the fullbacks.
Yeah.
But they're getting the ball so much all the time. And also they tend to get it with not a ton, as was being said before, about you saying about an out ball.
There's nothing on.
They get it with absolutely no support as well, not least because we're so slow in moving over to them. At times, Milner becomes the out ball. He gets the ball, he looks up, and everyone's 30 yards away from him.
Yeah, and Alan, what you want them to do? I mean, you know, their own teammates should know the limitations, and it's a little bit frustrating to watch that. I mean, we can put loads on the manager's shoulders, and rightly so. I think he deserves a bit of criticism. But also the players themselves sort of, can't you just work this out, lads, that this particular pattern that I keep seeing as I'm stood here on the cop, pulling my hair out, it's not working. Like, you're not beating that fella there, and they're doubling up on you. And, you know, you need to do something different. You need to try and beat a man. You need to move it a bit quickly. Bit quicker. You need to look for a forward pass quicker instead of taking three touches before you make that pass. But they just kept doing the same thing, and it was so frustrating to watch.
In essence, it is part of that because, you know, you're looking at it and you're thinking what we've just mentioned. You've had to move Firmino out of that central spot, play Origi there. So you're thinking Divock.
Show for everything. Yeah. At least show for everything.
This is, you know, we've had to change things so you can play. It doesn't particularly suit us very well. Come on, this is your game. Show everyone that this is your game. You've got Sturridge, who's getting fitter. You know, he's waiting for a chance to start. Games are running out. Liverpool have to seal the Champions League spot. So if you don't perform, he's waiting, and you know, you making my decision easier of what I'm going to do next.
On this, I mean, you know, there's very few of the lads who were starting at the minute who I think are in any danger, really, Lucas aside, of not being here next season, Mel. But one of the things, Origi's almost playing himself, and you've got to remember he's still a youngish footballer, yeah. But he's almost playing himself out of feeling as though he can play a significant role next season. Yeah. That's what I'm watching at the minute. I mean, it's probably the first time, but this is now a run of games where he hasn't shown he hasn't shown confidence, quality, or at least goals. Mm. You know, you think early in the season, I don't think he was playing particularly well, but he scores 5 and 5. At the minute, you are watching a footballer who it's quite difficult to sort of go, it'll be all right if he's your first sub next season. And he's starting these league games now. And it becomes tough, doesn't it, to make an argument to persist, really, in that some footballers, they just need to go and learn the trade on someone else's time, because we've got things to do. This season, we want to finish top four. Next season, we'll want to finish top four and have a strong European run. He, at the minute, and this is over now, over a consistent period, he doesn't look like a footballer who can help Liverpool in that.
I wonder if the approach just does not help him at all. I think he's very much a confidence player. You can tell sometimes when his touch is on, when everything, and that's generally when the team is also in that same mood, like, we're assertive, we're authoritative, this is who we are, and this is how we play. And I think that tends to suit him. When it's the inverse, and you've got to battle, and you've got to fight, and you've got to think, and you've got... I think it's so unnatural to him. And I think it shows. And one of Klopp's commands for his forwards, all of them, is always be an option, even if you're not a real option. So always be on the move, even though you're probably not going to receive the ball from that pass or that move. Mm. Be on it, because what you're doing is disrupting the central defenders. You're being a nuisance, you're annoying their organization, their shape, which means even though you're not receiving the ball, you're creating an opportunity for somebody else to by doing that. And he's just not done that. Liverpool's movement in general has been awful, but he needs to be the main threat there. And he just really, really struggled with it. The other thing is, you know, we're talking about Wijnaldum, and this is a player who actually is quite explosive. Very, very technically gifted. Very good on the dribble. And you're looking at that game and you're thinking, okay, maybe Sturridge and Lallana don't have the legs. And already by midweek, I'd spoken to somebody who said Lallana was pushed too hard in the previous game, which obviously wasn't part of his plan, wasn't in the recovery plan or anything like that. They managed a session, so I kind of knew he wasn't going to start. So if they're not ready for a full game, or if they're not ready, you know, for 35 minutes or 30 minutes, you've got a player there who can be an attacking weapon. So, you know, pull him over, change. You can affect the game like that. It doesn't always have to be a personality change of personnel. He can do it if you ask him to do it. And I think one of Wijnaldum's strengths this season has been his ability to be selfless for the team. So he does all the dirty work so everyone else can, you know, do what they want to do. But at times as well, let him do what he wants
to do. Yeah, he's better than that. Because, I mean, I don't normally whack loads of stats out, but I am today just because I'm frustrated about it, and I'm frustrated about how Van Alden performed and was used. And he's had one shot, which I don't remember, and he's had two passes inside the penalty area.
I'm sure Mignolet touched the ball more than him yesterday.
Which is madness. I might have moved it faster, to be honest with you. I mean, it's on going back to Origi, Ben. It just looks hard for him at the minute. And the one thing I'd like to see more of is, as Mel's saying, is just show. Just come, show feet, show half turn, show I'm going to spin in behind. I'm going to look to win my header. I'm going to look to just keep doing that. Just keep clattering backwards and forwards across that line. And that again is where you get frustrated, is you feel as though that's the thing he's not doing on top of everything else which isn't working.
He's funny. I think he's a really good footballer. I think he's a funny player because it's very hard to sort of categorise what he's good at, even though he's a really good centre forward. what's his strengths? And you know, normally with centre forwards, you get, you know, you look, you think, okay, well, Robbie Fowler wasn't that quick, but he had great movements and he could finish. And Emi Oleksi wasn't a natural finisher, but he was strong and he could hold the ball up and he could do this and he could, and he suited your team to play in a certain way. And with Origi, you get the feeling that, I mean, one thing he definitely isn't good at is playing in that really tight 10, trying to play inside 10 fellas in their own box and trying to impact on the game. I mean, it's a very hard thing to do. He's not good at that at all. Whenever he's looked any good for us, I think, is when the team's playing well as a counter-attacking unit and he can run the channels, he can hold the ball up, he can beat a man when he wants to. He doesn't have to be that creative, and that his movement doesn't need to be that intelligent and that good, because there's more space to run into, so it's easier. He's fast, he's strong, he's good in the air, and he can beat a man. And I think what you're seeing is someone trying to learn how to impact on a game when there's no space whatsoever. I mean, these games are all typified by the absolute lack of space. It's a really hard thing to do. And I think one of the skills that Firmino certainly got and Sturridge has got is that they're really good going backwards away from goal in creating space for other people.
So you see that in Sturridge's chance.
You see him, Sturridge is brilliant at it, and he never really, well, my idea of him, and maybe he was always brilliant at it, but my idea of him was more of a on the shoulder of someone, and his movement was really good ghosting in, but that was probably more about the quality of the team he was playing in and the strength of that team with Suarez and Sterling and so on. But what he's really good at now is drifting and finding space and turning quickly and passing it and moving, and his movement's really intelligent, and his ability to find half a yard is brilliant. And Firmino's the same in that they can work just as well backwards as they can forwards. I think where Origi struggles is when he goes back to goal and you're asking him to show for the ball. And if he's unable to show down the channels and that's it, I think he really struggles.
What's worrying as well about Origi for me is in this spell that he's been in the side, I don't see him naturally linking with anyone. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. So Liverpool at the best earlier on in the season, you're seeing Coutinho and Firmino.
You're talking about partnerships, aren't you?
Yeah, you're talking, but he's linking up with Mane, he's on the same wavelength as Lallana, and they're all moving it really quickly, they're knitting it really fast, and teams just couldn't live with it. With Origi, he just seems to hold it loads, and he wants loads of time on the ball, and like when it is, you know, we talked about his movement before, and so when people are passing to him, 9 times out of 10, he's got a fella literally on his shoulder. He hasn't moved off into a pocket of space, and he's got time to do something. And so he's just pretty much ineffective at the moment.
I think one of the sort of frustrations of this season is, and I think we almost stumbled across, it seems harsh, it's clearly planned, but we were so good early because all of the combinations worked. You know, Milner, Wijnaldum, Lallana, Henderson, Coutinho, Firmino and Mane all worked unbelievably well. You know, it's very rare that happens, I think, in a football match where everybody complements each other's game to become this irresistible force, and they were. We scored goals at will, you know, whenever we wanted to. And I think what's happening now is you've got players who don't necessarily complement each other very well, but you've also then got the whole unit. It's not intuitive. You know, it felt like Firmino drops out of the centre forward space. Lallana would go, or Coutinho would go the other side of him. Mane would appear in the space that was created. And it's not just, it's easy to say we'll miss a Mane because he can beat a man, but his movement's exceptional.
Well, decision-making as well.
Decision-making's
so
exceptional.
Well,
I want to come back to Ben on this and I'll come over to you on this, because you mentioned decision-making. One of the things that struck me watching that game yesterday was the difference between Origi and Sturridge when Sturridge comes on is, by the time Sturridge comes on, everyone looks up and the first play they're looking for is Sturridge. Sturridge comes on and they look up and the first play they're looking for is Sturridge. When Origi's on the pitch, the first play they're looking for is Coutinho.
Yeah.
And when Sturridge is on the pitch, everybody's going, how can I get this to Daniel now? How do I get this to Daniel now? And I think that one of the problems for Origi, and where I feel a little bit sorry for him in a sense, is I think there's a number of his teammates there who look at him and think, you know what, I'm not going to give it him because I don't think we're going to get it back. And whereas with Daniel, it's like, I'll find Daniel because he'll look after it. If you know, the ball will almost certainly remain in Liverpool's possession. And we're talking about wanting them to pass forwards faster and be more direct. I think you're happier doing that if you're putting it into Firmino or Sturridge than if you're putting it into Origi. Because one of the things you're thinking is, well, we might not see this again. And now we're trying to win it back and now there's a break.
And as soon as you do that, you're second guessing yourself. So then Origi thinks, well, should I make the run? Because I'm probably not going
to
get it.
Because these knobheads aren't passing to me.
And so Coutinho might not pass it to him. And then the one you referenced before, where Coutinho goes mad when he plays the ball and thinks you should be in there, go and get it. He doesn't go because he's probably thinking, well, you're not going to pass it to me anyway, so I can't be bothered going for it. And it's all them things that as a team.
Whereas at the start of the season,
everyone knew what everyone else was going to do. And it was so good, it couldn't be contained, pretty much. It was unbelievable.
The start of the season as well was incredible for me because I'd watched training in the US and it became repetition, so it was habit. Everything was coming, you know, because they'd practiced it so many times that everything just came off because they knew instinctively if Milner bombs, what Wijnaldum needs to do in that situation, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And now everything is, it seems so heavy on their minds what all the knock-on movements need, to you know, what they need to do in those scenarios. But that point on that you guys are making, you know, passing to Sturridge over Divock, that in essence is also partially Divock's fault because he's not shown them enough, you know, in terms of offering himself. You look up and you look for Sturridge because you know Sturridge has found a way to make space.
Sturridge will demand that as well, though. Yeah. And Sturridge will moan if he doesn't get it, whereas it feels like, you know, Divock's gone a little bit into his shell. You know, he's not waving his arms around. He's not shouting. Like, a fella who's a confident number nine, if you're not giving it to him, he'll tell you. He'll be like, yeah, I'm in the goal. I'm in the team here to get you the goal, lad. And you're not giving me the ball. What's going on? Whereas Divock's just knocking around.
I mean, the interesting thing about Origi is he played really well at home against Everton. I thought it was one of his best games.
Yeah.
And one of the things that crossed my mind was when I was watching it, was like, is this like a show of, well, look how good I am to Belgian people and to Lukaku and the other team who wasn't very good, and he was like, well, I'm a better player than you. And I mean, it might be being harsh, but come across as, was that like a slight issue about attitude? And I think that's probably too harsh, and I don't think it is. Mm-hmm. But it was odd where he played so well and he showed so much against Devon, and it might be that it's a bigger game and it's easier to get up for it and it's easier and... I don't know. It was an interesting thing. But then saying that about, we're talking about the qualities of Sturridge versus Origi. You go to West Ham on Sunday, I'd start Origi.
For me, I'd definitely start Origi.
I think you need to have a way to change the game because if things don't work, you know, guys were saying start Sturridge and Lallana, give them the first half and then take them off. But if it's goalless still at half-time and you've taken them off, what are you doing to change the game then? How are you affecting play? And I think that's massive, massive, massive in his head.
If I was to start Sturridge, let's say I've got to start Sturridge. Let's say I'm a Liverpool manager and I've got to start Sturridge. Two huge hypotheticals.
Very, very big hypothetical.
Yeah, a lot of that to change between now and next Sunday.
You've got to get your badges.
Listen, if anyone can get their badges in such a short amount of time, it's Neil. I don't know anyone who manages to do as much with their time as him.
Well, that aside, let's say it all comes together. The only way I would start Sturridge would be with Origi. I'd actually want the idea that you go two on two with their centre halves. Origi does loads and loads of dog work and lets Sturridge sort of find pockets of space. That's the only. So regardless, you know, for all this talk around Origi, for me, I would definitely be starting him at West Ham. And I also think that the manager's probably got something in his mind. And it's funny because, as you said before, Mel, the games are running out. But there's probably something where the manager's thinking, Christ, you could just do with a goal. And you've seen managers play players. You know, we're doing something at the minute on 05-06, and Liverpool play a really mad team in a League Cup game that they lose at Palace. And he basically picks all his lads. Benitez picks all his lads who need a goal, and none of them get one, which somewhat undermines the process, and they get beat. But you know, there is a thing here. I think, Mel, where if you are the manager, you're probably thinking to yourself, nothing would sort Divock out more now than one just going in somehow somewhere. And I think that's part of the mindset as well. Is, you know, he knows he needs, these lads are doing the business for him on the road. He doesn't want to then give him a further vote of no confidence.
Absolutely.
By bombing him out in the home game.
Yeah, that is another thing I was thinking, because when I was looking at the makeup of the team and I thought, okay, if Lallana's fit enough to start, or, you know, Coutinho had the dead leg, if they're both fit enough to start, what do you do and who do you take? Do you take Lucas out? Lucas has played so well. Lucas is important in those away games as well. Do you take him out? And then he's thinking, taking me out this week, next week, are you going to rely on me again? I'm supposed to come in and shore it up. So there is a squad sort of balance you have to strike. And there is an element as well where you're thinking, if Divock scores, you know, he's going to go on that. Because he is that type of player. You'll come on and he'll have a little decent cameo next game. He does the same thing because it's, you know, he's in it now. And not too long ago, we were speaking about him. Like, I think he had a hand in 4 goals in 5 games or something. So there's all these things you've got to take into consideration.
He looks to have played himself into form
through
his cameos, didn't he? And most people around that time were sort of saying, well, he's done enough there to deserve a go. But then he's had a go, and the opposite effect almost, that he's lost his confidence again now.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, Tony on last week's show mentioned just watch him and watch the number of touches he takes all the time. That's a man without confidence. He's not, whereas you know that he can, you know, like you said before, you know he's a better footballer than that. Yeah, I've seen him do some boss thing. I think he came on against Arsenal, I think, first game. And he did some mad thing in the box to skin about 2 of them. And I was like, go ahead. And that's what he's capable of. But I haven't seen anything like that for a long time.
I'm certain as well it is, because the team in itself is in an unsure state now. I think we can all agree on that. The focus is obviously defensive solidity and stuff, but in their own, what they've been so good at, it's hesitant in a sense now. And I think that comes across in his play, because he's feeding off what everyone else is doing, basically. And in the games where you don't get space and everything is largely happening, you're on the periphery, everything is happening apart from you, you kind of need to feed off what else is going on in the game. And I just think it doesn't suit him. But in saying all this, what does he do for the next game? I'll be surprised if he...
Changed 11. The only change that he might make is Lallana.
I mean, if I was him, I don't think I would. I think I'd keep it. The only possible change would be Firmino up front, and if Lallana's fit, to play him as well.
On the wide right and keep the same midfield today.
Yeah.
Just one more thing. Two things I want to touch on before we get into the general situation, Gareth. First is, we've mentioned it a couple of times, Liverpool miss a penalty.
Mm.
It's an all right penalty. It's not a great pen, but it's an all right pen in a situation where you know, the fella's taking some great pens. And I think you've got to, at some point, you miss one. I mean, it's a thing that happens. Everyone missed a pen. If you look at Phil Neal's record, he missed about a billion of them. And yet has scored more penalties for Liverpool than anybody else. But his whole performance, I thought, it happens. It happens to all players. It felt like a real struggle for James Milner. And at the end, I just wanted to give him a cuddle. I felt so sorry for him. He was battling away there, but simultaneously, he just never got going in the game.
Yeah, and again, it was, you know, back to what I said earlier about the sort of, you can see a pattern of play building and then you never really get out of it. That's what he was like. He was just having a really bad day at the office, really. And I did wonder and said to the lad next to me a couple of times, you know, is there not a case here to be lashing Trent on? I mean, like, you know, he's played fullback and we've seen fullbacks do all right on the other flank, including Milner. You know, is there not a case?
Or Moreno.
Yeah, or just to give someone else a go, because it's clear it's not his day type of thing. Just sort of take him off, say, well in, lad, put your arm round.
Well, the point where he got subbed, it looked like it was him who was going to get subbed. He jogged off, he gave the armband to Lucas.
And he legged it.
It did look a little bit like everyone was relieved that was happening. Yeah. And then suddenly,
I thought I imagined that, you know.
Yeah, no. And then he's told, no, you're staying on.
He seemed all right.
You sort of trudge to left back, like, all right, come on, mate.
Fucking hell, Clap, I thought you'd seen it. But and on the pen as well, I mean, I just thought Liverpool as a team could have been doing more there to, you know, that Groch, Fraser, Forster, or whatever he's called, comes over, big Frankenstein fella, kicking the spot right in Milner's face. I mean, I'm in the cop and it's literally there in front of me, and I'm doing my bit. I'm screaming at this fella, calling them all kinds. But where's our players doing that? Because he's literally kicking up the penalty spot. And why the referee wasn't looking and was dealing with the other fella who was taking a drink out of the goal mouth and booking him, He's booting, he's scuffing up the penalty spot. Milner's trying to kick it back down again. He's right in Milner's face. God knows what he's saying to him. The only one who has a bit of a go back is Coutinho, and from about 5 yards away. And he's not the most physically imposing fella. And I just thought, where's the centre-halves here? I'd be running the length of the pitch, putting that fella on his arse and telling him to do one or get back in your goal. You know what I mean? And as it was, he was just left to say what he was saying. Milner done his, you know, I'm a pro and I'm not arse thing both during the game and after. But I just thought Liverpool, where was Liverpool's togetherness there?
It's principle, innit?
Yeah.
Who are you?
Yeah, what are you doing?
Who are you?
Mm. Yeah.
Pushing through the net. Yeah. Literally through it. Dyson.
I mean, I've never wanted someone to score a pen more, really, after that as well. I said to him, I'd love him to blam this top corner just and go,
right in his face.
Yeah, just go and rub his head. You know what I mean? When it's gone in. Yeah.
Oddly as well, Milner's shown that he's got steel.
Oh, yeah, he's needly.
Yeah. And so even while all this is happening, I'm thinking to myself, if anyone's going to stick it, it's going to be Milner. And it's going to be glorious when he does because of all this that's gone on. And I almost, just like how I thought, did I imagine that I saw Milner getting ready to come off? In that split second when he gets saved, I was like, that just didn't happen. You can't, I couldn't fathom Milner actually missing the penalty.
It's a bit of a funny pen because he goes with his percentage pen. And I think there's an argument. I think he's done that last two. Now he's gone that side. He's arrowed it in on that side. And my only criticism, I don't think it's that bad a pen. I think it's a good save. The lad's 6'7". He gets down, stretches himself. All the cliches of it's a good height and it's not right in the corner. But my only thing on, you know, if there's any criticism really of the player is there's a strong argument for shaking that one up and going somewhere else because the keeper clearly would have done his homework and all that. He's put his last two.
Wonder if part of the trash talk though was you're going that side. And so you've seen, I think Gerard used to say that before. You're like, okay, I'm going to put it there and I'm going to score. So I wonder if
Forster said to the press that he'd worked on a plan for the pen.
Let's not give him any credit. This fella's faced 9 penalties in the league and he saved one. Do you know what I mean? He's just a big gunk.
Yeah.
I mean, if he plays against us, he has a good game. But, you know, he's done his job on this
occasion.
I think
he's crap.
He's absolutely rubbish. If Milner to hit it there next to him, 6 inches from his leg, it would have gone in. He can't move. He's got lucky. He picked the right way and he got lucky. He's done his job okay. He put him off. He maybe didn't put him off, whatever. But, you know, next time he played him, put him through the net. Eddie. And then Ed him. and then stand over him when he scores. That's what it is, isn't it? He's not, you know.
Get back to the Frankenstein, you lad.
He's the whole situation then. By the way, just dead quick, our keeper, he's become an unbelievable commander of his penalty area. I can't get over it. He also kicked one 75 yards as a throughy. Just to go on.
You've got to give credit to him. We've said it before. I said after Hull, I'd never play him again for Liverpool, and I meant every word of it. And now you've got to give him credit. He's vastly improved in this season, especially the last 2 months. He's like a different
in
keeper.
Every element as well.
Every element.
Yeah.
Every bit that he wasn't very good at, he's like 10 times better.
I think he's just sort of thought, fuck it, what's the worst that can happen? If I come for Everton, and I'll see what happens, and he's coming for it, and he's getting
and he's
them.
Making good decisions.
Yeah, like really good catches.
The mad one
on the edge of the box.
Shouting at the players for not getting out enough and giving him a quick enough release throw. It's incredible. It's amazing what competition can do to
But also, like, the confidence is, like, I think he actually has to have some confidence now to not quickly release it, if you know what I mean. Because the crowd is so used to getting on his back, if he doesn't do the quick release, they're all on his back. And he seems to have, like, reached a stage where he's going, well, sometimes that's not on, and I'm all right, just over.
Yeah, shut up, you. Fuck off.
Yeah, stop giving me loads. And absolutely fair play to him, you know what I mean? Fair play for saying that. I didn't have anything to deal with, like...
Well, but it really felt like, for the first time in a while, it got to the point in the game where it was only a corner. Do you know what I mean? They got a corner, and you got to the point of, it's only a corner, we're going to be all right here.
Yeah.
I think, you know...
There wasn't that panic.
You're always worried with this that, you know, any goalkeeper can make a mistake at any stage, even the very best, and we can say this and then one can be in the post. But I can't get over it, and I agree with you, Gareth. I think you've seen it from a couple of times in the past. I don't even necessarily think it's just competition. I just think he's got to the point where he's just thought, fuck it then. I'm just going to do this. I'm just going to keep backing myself to do this in that... I think it's, whether or not it's competition, I think it's, well, I'm probably going to get sold in the summer, so I'm just going to be this fella now. And now he might not get sold in the summer. I just think it's really fair play to him. All right, then the whole situation, it's still in our hands. It is a get something at West Ham job, Mel. I mean, Arsenal have helped, but then they can become a threat again very quickly. But they've got two away games to come. They've got to go to Southampton. They've got to go to Stoke back-to-back. And Stoke's madly like a derby for Arsenal. I don't know if they've allowed that situation to perpetuate, but that is the case. There's probably a piece to be written, Gareth, in mad derbies. Yeah. Derbies that have become derbies that aren't derbies.
That aren't derbies a mile off. Like, like, why have we got this supposed rivalry with Chelsea when we used to clap the players? You know, like when Zola's last game, which I went to, when it was like the winner takes all on the final day at Stamford Bridge. And they won, and so they got in the Champions League and we didn't. And all our ends stayed and clapped Zola off because it was his last game because he was boss. I think that had happened now with this manufactured bullshit plastic rivalry we've got.
So Stoke away for Arsenal's like all the Everton away's come together. But they could win both games. But the situation remains in our hands, Mel.
Yeah, I think that's a massive... Or players would have gone home, watched that, and it would have been like, okay... We go again, same thing, tight away from home, trying to get... The only thing, like I said, is you've got to sort of have more control over in these sort of games, because if you're relying on a piece of brilliance, it just may not come. You can't bank on that all the time. So I'd like Liverpool to be smart, yes, and not overcommitted, but at the same time, know that, okay, it is in our hands, so part of that means we've got to take some initiative and be inventive here. And like I said, all Liverpool need to do is marry both their approaches. It doesn't have to be one or the other. And yes, they're missing key players, but they've still got some pretty good ones on the pitch. You know, don't negate Firmino.
Got a week to prepare for as well.
Don't negate Coutinho and all the things we're speaking about, you know, like Origi in tight spaces and stuff. Exactly that. You've got a week to prepare, work on all these things, and all these things will be worked on. So maybe it's time to get a bit tough. Like I said, games are running out. So if you're not going to show, if you're not, you know, do something a little mad, put Lallana in, play Wijnaldum further forward or the inverse of that. Take Divock out if he's not going to operate, if he's not going to do what you need him to do in those games, because it is a case now. Liverpool have had a really good season in terms of, given all the things they've dealt with, the injuries and stuff, and they have to get over that finishing line. And they have to do it by whatever means necessary. So sentiment needs to go. And Klopp likes to say each game should be taken on its own merit. And I think he's looked at this run-in as one block, which is why the home and away thing, you can't really tell a difference because the run-in's been seen as one, and that needs to change now. You need to do what has to be done in the game.
Can I just say as well, I've got to have a go at Klopp just quickly, because all season he's been in the programme, he's been in every single time he sat in front of the media, getting our heads right as a group of fans for when we go in the ground and get behind the Reds and all that. And I think pretty much it's worth. I thought the atmosphere yesterday was decent, all of that. But so don't come out with that grass shout. That grass shout is the worst thing he said, I think.
Do you reckon?
Honestly, it was a terrible shout. Because I went there and I looked at the pitch from where I am in the cop, and I'm going, the pitch looks sound there, doesn't it? And then comes out with that, he even said himself, oh, I know I shouldn't really say this, and I know what everyone's going to say, but the grass, you know. And it just sounds like a proper bullshit excuse that's going to be thrown back in his face. He must know.
I think the fair thing is if Rodgers said it, would he get slaughtered? And yeah, he would.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think he'd probably right to slag him. But I think saying that, I think the pitch looks low.
I was getting wet by the sprinklers because the sprinklers were on for a long time in the build up, and they put it on at halftime as well. And I had to wipe my laptop, and I was thinking, what the hell? And when Milner walked off the pit, I think the first interview he gave, you referenced it as well, that it was...
I think even if it's a factor, though, that just don't say it in public. Because I just think...
Because he never gives an excuse.
Exactly.
He did say, though, this is not... I'm sure he started with, this is not an excuse.
Everyone's going to say it as well, no, yeah. Aren't they? Do you know what I mean? He's going to get volleyed in the press, is what I mean, and he must know that. So just keep it on the down low and go and see the groundsman and say, can you turn the sprinklers on 5 hours before next time, lad, or something like that. I just think by doing it, it got loads of people going, including me. Oh, for fuck's sake, come on.
All right. Liverpool limping over the line. Ben Jono is banging to slow grass.
There's nothing worse than playing on a slow pitch. It's horrible. The ball checks. It kills the game. Last couple of years I played, we had a 4G pitch. I'm in the sun. Two things in the sun. It smells of tyres. It's dreadful. It gives you cancer and that, which is bad. There's like loads of studies on it. Don't lie on a plastic pitch in the sun, by the way. And secondly, the ball just dies. It just stops, and it's really hard to put momentum into the game, especially when you're playing against someone who's going to frustrate you. So I can see where he's coming from in relation to the pace of the pitch. It's a two-game season. I agree with what you said before, Mel. I think he's looked at our running, at United's running, at Arsenal's running, and said, right, we just need to get more points than them. I don't care how we get them. I'm going to play these lads in a way that allows us to be competitive in all of these games because we don't need to win them all. So I think he's going into Sunday thinking it's a two-game season, we need 4 points. Let's get 4 points, however we get it. And I think he'd be happy with a point on Sunday and we'll beat Middlesbrough at home.
All right. Limping.
Hopefully it'll rain.
let's pray for rain. Okay, then. Liverpool limping over the line. Listen, we're going to talk about the referee in a second. We don't normally do that, but we are going to talk about the referee in a second because I think there's time and a place where that has to happen. Very, very quickly, though, remember to review us, rate and review us on iTunes and Facebook. Give us all the 5 stars that you want. And also just generally tell your friends. We very much like people talking about the Anfield Rap as a positive thing around supporting Liverpool. You know that you can subscribe and all that sort of stuff, but let people know that, you know, this is an interesting podcast. Sadly, Ben Johnson's got to run because we're about to slaughter Bobby Madley. And it's
truly Bobby Gobshite.
Bobby
well better than truly Madley deeply.
Truly Madley Gobshite is best than truly Madley deeply. No one can hear you anyway because you know we're near a microphone. I'm honestly, listen, you know, Liverpool probably didn't deserve to win. They get themselves a penalty, they miss it. They have some issues. They've not played well. We've just criticised a few of the players quite specifically. They should still come top four. Let's get all that out the way. I'm not saying for a second that Bobby Madley's performance is why Liverpool didn't win the game. That's why I hate talking about referees, because you end up talking about other things. Yeah. But Mel, that is one of the worst refereeing performances I have seen in my whole life. He was absolutely terrible.
Yeah, we talk about, you know, the uncertainty in Liverpool's play. He was uncertain in everything, like the simplest things, like throw-ins
or a blatant foul on Nathaniel Clyne or...
Just everything. He seemed so confused.
By everything. I mean, both sides. Yeah. I could not get over it. And where his position on the pitch was mad. At one point, Coutinho had to nutmeg him to pass it. He was constantly in the way. Oh, Gareth, I'm just sitting there thinking this cannot be. It got the crowd going, but I was thinking this just cannot be happening. It was such a bad performance.
It was terrible. Honestly, I mean, the decisions he was given, it was just mad. And I watched the highlights back as well last night, and like there's one where Klopp's going absolutely nuts on the touchline, and he's basically you can read his lips, he's shouting to him. Ask him, as in the ref who stood on the side, who's seen it on the telly and's going, fucking, well, I know, lad, yeah, it's a clap. and it was a terrible, terrible, terrible performance. And it's mad that some people have mistaken Liverpool being booed off for the ref being booed off. It was very much the ref.
Yeah.
It was the ref, because the ref was an absolute twat of a bum. And do you know what as well? On Southampton, and we haven't mentioned this all the way through the show, I think they actually deserve credit for their level of shithousery during this game in terms of just wasting time.
Oh, they were brilliant.
In terms of, you know, like what he does on the penalty, all of that. I'm all bang for moaning about it. But when we talked about it in the pub afterwards there, oh, and by the way, the result did wonders for Anfield's pubs, you know, takings, because everyone piles in to watch the Arsenal Man U game to see what happens. But yeah, everyone talks about it there. And then I just went, do you know what though? If we went away to a side, say we're in the Champions League next season and we're playing a brilliant side away, you'd be made up if Liverpool did all of that. You'd be made up if Liverpool did all of the things that Southampton did. But also, it's up to the ref to just go to the to the keeper the first time he does it. I know what you're doing, lad. And if you do it one more, I'm giving you a yellow. And then you're off if you do it again after that. And then it doesn't happen. But he didn't do that.
No.
He didn't control the game in any way as a ref.
He had no authority. And Klopp referenced afterwards as well that the headset wasn't working. So he wasn't getting information from the
fourth official.
From the fourth official, which I think made his head fall off even to a greater degree.
Well, on that, I mean, you know, for instance, I think you say he had no authority over the players. I think you see first half when he goes through, when he gets completely ignored by Gabbiadini, goes through the entire rigmarole of getting Gabbiadini over to him.
And then just gives him a telling off.
And pulls the captain in.
Yeah.
And then just gives him a telling off. I thought at that point, Southampton, you could see.
You're going to get away with, yeah.
Basically, you might as well go on to Southampton. Yeah, you pretty much got carte blanche, lads. Fill your boots. And it was unreal. I thought that moment was the one that just defined it for me.
Well, yeah, you're an authority figure. You're the ref. And what Gabbiadini did just totally undermined him, didn't he? I mean, he kept on walking away. So basically shrugging his shoulders, going, nah, I'm not coming over to you. I'm not coming over, jibbing him off. He's got to go, hang on, who are you?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's got to stand up for himself, and he just didn't. And it seemed like he was always like, what to me was a blatant foul, he'd always wait and be looking around and he's looking to his linesman. It's like, no, mate, you're the ref. You're the ref. Take control.
That moment you're talking about as well, even the crowd were like, are you messing? Because now, like, they're time, but you're also taking time out to go and have a word without even giving a caution. What are you doing?
Well, that whole kerfuffle took over a minute, and there was only 1 minute out of the start of the first half. Second half, and again, you can sound like an idiot on this, but I'm convinced, and I'm fine with Southampton. I agree with you, Gareth. They saw an opportunity. They pushed it, you know, all that sort of stuff. I'm fine with that, but I don't think that ball's in play for 60 minutes in that game. I'd like to see how long it was.
Yeah.
But also, on that one, second half, there was at least 3 minutes fucking around with the penalty, and there's only 4 minutes added at the end of the game when you've got all the substitutions and other issues as well with players being back down to add on. And I just honestly think it was, as a refereeing performance goes, it was absolutely genuinely abject. It's not crying on, it's none of that. It was just awful. Anyway, what wasn't awful was this show. Huge thanks to Ben Johnson, to Melissa Reddy, and to Gareth Roberts. Smooth segue there. We'll be having the free show. It'll be coming out on Friday for the Anfield Wrap. The Rider will be out during the week. And there's all the subscription shows as well. TheAnfieldWrap.com/subscribe to have the bones further pulled out of this game with Sean Rogers and Paul Cope, which I'm off to go and do after this, but also all the stuff that we've got coming out across the entirety of the week for you on the player system. You know how it all works by now. Liverpool have drawn 0-0 with Southampton and yet somehow managed to look a little bit closer towards the promised land of the Champions League next season. Just get 6 points, Reds, please. Just get 6 points. Do the decent thing. That's the Anfield Wrap.
Sports Social Podcast Network.